Welcome to Houseplant Homebody. I'm your host, Holly, and I'm here to tell you all about my favorite things, plants. Are you ready? So welcome to episode 92. This one is about forsythia, which kind of starts off my journey back to landscape plants, learning and kind of exploring the landscape side again. So if you didn't listen to the last few episodes, I talked about how I'm going to kind of expand what Houseplant Homebody episode is going to be like. So we're going to obviously still have houseplants. We're going to have topical things, and we're going to start including landscape plants. So we talked about bulbs last week, but right now there's a lot going on with spring blooming, and I wanted to get on top of it and ahead of it. So we're going to jump into a shrub, forsythia, today. So the reason we're doing forsythia is because it is currently blooming. And usually these hardiness zones are anywhere between 3 to 7 or 8, usually. Probably the sweet spot, most of them are between 4 to 8 is usually what they are. So if you're in those hardiness zones, more than likely in your area, you are seeing these things blooming right now. A lot of people use them as hedge plants. They kind of have an unruly look to them because there's no foliage whatsoever. It's just the flowers on the stem, kind of like a cottage vibe in a way. A lot of people use them as borders or hedge plants too, so usually you're going to see more than one like lined up together. I'm going to actually do something different in this recording and do kind of the requirements and a little bit more of the care side of it, and then go into the varieties. Even going to do the Instagram Q&A beforehand, just because varieties, there's, you know, so many out there, and I'm just going to highlight over the ones that I've worked with or the ones that came up the most doing research as well. So let's jump right into it. We're going to get into the water and sun requirements. So more than likely, this episode's going to be a little bit shorter because there's not a ton of nuances with the care. It's more of the different varieties you're going to be looking out for. It's kind of similar to how you think about like philodendron, how they have a ton of different variegation and looks to them. The varieties kind of come in a similar shape and size, except for the fact that the varieties are going to be mostly in a landscape. When you're looking for a variety, you're looking for to see if it's a different color flower or leaf. Mostly the size it grows is mostly what people are after, usually, when they're picking varieties. So sun requirements, super simple. They do their absolute best in full sun. That's how they have the most blooms and the longest lasting blooms, but they can tolerate partial sun. You just may not see as full of a bloom. These look gnarly when they're not quite blooming yet, and even after the fact as well. They will drop their flowers and start pushing out growth on them. And the flowers, depending on the variety, normally you're going to find them in early spring, maybe late spring for some of them, but it's one of the first shrubs to be actually blooming, therefore there's no foliage. But they do their best in full sun. You can put them in partial sun. Watering requirements are not complicated either. They like average moisture, and once established, they can be drought tolerant, which is similar to a lot of shrubs, at least that I've experienced. They're very, very low maintenance, realistically. As you're putting it in and planting it in the very beginning, it is best to water heavier and less frequently than to water less more often, if that makes sense. So when I was at the garden center, we always taught people, usually for the first season, you want to keep up with the watering. Usually plants need about 2 inches of rainfall, and if they're not getting it, you need to supplement it, which means you're going to be, if you have a drip line, that is best to be watering your plants and turning that on for, it's probably a few hours. Or what I've done in the past, since I don't have that technology, nor do I want to pay for it, I would put my hose attachment on misting, and I would just let it sit at the base of the plant for like an hour or so. That way it gets the ground thoroughly soaked all the way down to the root ball. And then you're not going to really do that probably for another week or so. I'd say 5 to 7 days you're going to want to wait. Obviously, it depends on temperature and where you have it planted. If it's in bright, full sun, it's already 80 degrees when you're planting this plant, 90 degrees, then you're going to want to be watering it and checking on it more often. But it's best to water it a lot at once and then don't water it for a very long time. This just helps it get established, and it helps it become more tolerant for the drought tolerant. Usually in the second and third season, you're going to be providing the supplement water. So if there is like a drought in your area or region, then you're going to want to help it out a little bit. But usually it's can pretty much live on its own. I remember there was a burning bush that my mother-in-law had in her backyard, and it was probably planted for about 3 years, but I noticed when there were drought periods within the temperatures and it was just super, super dry outside, the leaves would start to wilt. In those kind of situations, obviously a plant's just gonna survive everything. So those are kind of moments that you can think about. And normally for Cythia, you're probably not gonna see as much of a reaction as the burning bush, for example. But usually in the second and third year, you're still gonna wanna provide supplement when it is really dry. So that's the sun and water requirements. Really not too much going on. And then we're going to get into the blooms, the other facts, planting, Instagram Q&A, and then we'll get into the varieties. All right, so forsythia are known for their blooms, and that's what I keep talking about, but I haven't really told you what they look like. So they bloom with a very bright, vibrant, almost like gold yellow flower. It's a single flower that pops up off of the stem of the plant, which is very interesting and unique as well. It's not like it's branching chunks of flowers or anything like that. Individual flowers going all the way down the stems. Usually the bloom time, like I said, is early spring. Right now it's blooming. So typically early to mid-April is like a good average time, at least for us in Wisconsin, in southeast Wisconsin. But after the plant blooms, it does have medium green foliage. Depending on the variety, you might have a more prominent vein. For example, Cumson forsythia, which we'll talk about, is one of those that has almost a silvery vein to the leaf, and it's only one of the few that really do. It's only the one that I have worked with and known that does. So blooms are beautiful. The shade of yellow can change. It's not too dramatic. Most of the time they're going to be more of a gold yellow, but sometimes they're going to be a little bit brighter yellow. And that is the main difference of the plant, besides the slight veining, depending on what variety you get. And then the size is what's going to be the big difference based on the variety you choose. So some of the other facts. They originate from East Asia. I read that some of them originated from China and other varieties originated from Europe as well. But obviously, these have been hybridized and cultivated all over the world. I saw New Zealand, China, Japan, US, Canada, and a lot of the varieties you're going to see or hear about or work with are probably being cultivated in Canada right now, because that is one of the places that I saw over and over and over again that had grown the main cultivars that you're seeing. This is part of the Oleaceae family, which is known as the olive family. And you can also find other families within this, other shrubs within this, like lilac, privet, obviously olives, jasmine, for example, fringe tree is another fun one. So all of those are within the same family. Some other fun facts about this plant is they are deer resistant. Now, I say deer resistant, but deer will eat whatever they want. So just be aware that it might not be repelling them. It could just be a little bit more difficult to get deer to want to eat them unless they're desperate. Salt tolerant, which is also great. That's why they're used as border hedges and stuff like that. You could put them along a driveway or along a street or something, and they should be salt tolerant. They're not going to be as affected, I guess, as salt as much. My words stay. They're not going to be affected by salt as much as some other plants, which is why this is a great cold weather shrub. And then walnut toxicity resistant, which you don't find many plants that are like that, but this is also resistant. Depends on the case, obviously. Could have some issues still, but it is more resistant. The other great thing about forsythia is they can tolerate many different soil types, including heavy clay soil. So here in Wisconsin, or at least in the areas that I've worked in, heavy clay soil is a huge problem. And normally I am putting compost mixed with my soil that I have in my landscape constantly, because it's usually a little bit heavier and I want to loosen it up for the roots to get a little bit established before they get into deeper heavy clay soil. So that's great news. As I mentioned earlier, this is a wonderful border plant. I think I also mentioned this, but as I was doing research, a lot of people reference this as a great cottage-like plant, so a cottage garden. A little bit more unruly in the way that it grows and the fact that the flowers are kind of individual in the stem. It does look a little crazy sometimes, but it can stay compact if you trim it. And when you trim it and prune it, that would be after the flowering is done. So normally that would be late spring, early summer is when you're going to be trimming it. That way you can keep the shape still and not affect the blooms. I also wanted to mention that I did a couple landscape plant design podcast episodes. So I linked them in the blog post. I have landscape plant design part one and part two. There's only a blog post for the part two. So as a heads up, but podcast episode for both. All right. And then I did get one Instagram Q&A question. And remember, I call it Instagram Q&A, but this is hot takes, opinions. I want everything. So if you didn't submit your Instagram Q&A or your hot take or anything, make sure you're commenting on this blog post or the actual Instagram post for Forsythia, because I want to know your opinion on these. If you hate them, love them. Honestly, I am quite in the middle. I think they're beautiful. Definitely not my favorite shrub. I personally don't like the way they look in the spring, even with the blooms. They're really, really pretty. But there was several times at the garden center that I just noticed them. It just looked like ragged almost. I think once they get a little bit more established, they're obviously going to be a little bit more full and good. But they just looked kind of pathetic when they were in their pots at the garden centers to me. So this plant is a hit or miss. But if I could get a perfectly gold blooming Forsythia, no issues with it whatsoever. Based on what I'm hearing, you shouldn't have issues. A little bit more established. I would love this because I love any sign of early spring that I can get. That's why I love my spring blooming bulbs too. So the only question I got was, when does this bloom in the Midwest and do they bloom different elsewhere? So this was a good question. Obviously, we talked about when they bloom. It's mostly early to mid-spring. Most varieties are around that same perspective. But based on your weather, you might have it blooming slightly earlier or slightly later. If it's abnormally warm for your area, it might be pushing out the blooms a little bit sooner. If it's abnormally colder later in the season, then maybe it might be hanging on to like late spring. So that's probably the only difference. I would say you can guarantee that it's going to bloom in spring, no matter where you are or what the weather is going to be. I just don't know how early or how late, because it's really dependent on the weather. Okay, so we're going to go into the different varieties now. So you're going to be a little bit overloaded with some names. I have them all written down. I even have some other varieties as I was doing some online shopping for Forsythia that you might be finding when you're out shopping as well or trying to do your research. And then I did a little bit of background on some of the Latin names to them, but I just wanted to go through the cultivars that you are going to be finding mostly. So let's get into it. Okay, so I just want to very briefly go over a couple varieties. So of Latin names, I mean, Forsythia ovata, which is also known as Korean Forsythia, is one of the original Forsythia, basically. And then the ones I'm going to be talking about are mostly varieties and hybrids, usually off of that or usually off of some other ones that's all mixed together nowadays. So Forsythia intermedia, which is a hybrid version of Forsythia supensa and Forsythia viridissima, I believe, which is weeping Forsythia and greenstorm Forsythia. So most of them are going to be kind of under this overarching hybrid of the intermedia. Beyond that, there are some that have crossed with the ovata. There are some that are a mix of the weeping and the Korean. So it is a whole mumbo jumble of variety, but I'm just going to be talking about the unique hybrid names that people are calling them. Some of them are honestly ridiculous, and you will learn in 2 seconds what it is. But I'm also going to be talking and going over about the ones that I dealt with that the garden center I worked at, the nursery I worked at, grew themselves, whether it was in the ground or it was in the pots too. So something I'm familiar with, and then I added a couple more that I knew were newer that I hadn't seen. So the first one is New Hampshire Gold. This is a Forsythia intermedia. It can get about 4 to 6 feet tall and wide, and its hardiness zone is 5 to 8. So more than likely, that is a little bit on edge for where we are currently, but those are the ones that we grew. So we grew New Hampshire, Northern Gold, I think Compson also was another one, and then it was hit or miss based on the varieties that we had. But New Hampshire Gold was one of them, and they did very well. They came back every year, so hardiness zone is 5 to 8. There's not a whole lot to talk about these in general because actually they all bloom pretty much the same. There's only one variety that I noticed that was called Linwood Gold that I'm not going into any detail about that seemed to have a lighter yellow color to it. But all the ones I'm going to be talking about do have more of a golden color to them. So I'm also going to be just talking about the any kind of change in hardiness zone and what kind of height or width they are for the most part. So that was New Hampshire. Northern Gold Forsythia is the next one. This is a mix between the Forsythia ovata and the intermedia. This one is a little bit larger. It's going to get 6 to 8 feet tall, 5 to 7 feet wide. And the hardiness zone is nice and low, 3 to 8. So this is a good old reliable Forsythia. The next one is Gold Tide Forsythia. This is called Forsythia intermedia cortisol, is the actual, like, I guess, given Latin name of it. It is a smaller version of Forsythia. So it only gets 2 to 3 feet tall, 3 to 4 feet wide. And this is why hybrids and varieties are so lovely and also important in dealing with the landscape, because you want to make sure you are getting a plant that's going to fit your area. If you loved this bloom, but you didn't want to get the one that gets 8 feet, well, there's lovely varieties like this that will stay shorter for you, that will give you exactly what you want, just a little bit more compact version. This is a hardiness zone of 4 to 8, so also right in the sweet spot, which is perfect for at least us in Wisconsin. The next one is Compson Forsythia. This one can get about 4 to 6 feet tall and 6 to 8 feet wide. So more than likely, you're going to have a little bit more width on this one. You're going to see it weeping a little bit more than be so upright. This does have a hardiness zone of 4 to 8, right in the sweet spot. And this is the one where the leaves have the unique silver veining to them. So if you look up a picture, more than likely the first thing you're going to see is a bloom because it's so terrific. But if you look up the foliage of it, you're going to see that variegation to it. And it is honestly beautiful. It doesn't look like it's a mistake at all. It's gorgeous. The next one, which is not something I directly ever worked with, but I know it comes up a ton and I've seen it in other places, it is the Meadowlark Forsythia. This is one of your larger ones. It gets 8 to 10 feet tall and wide, hardiness zone 4 to 8. So this is another kind of staple Forsythia that I've seen out there, and it is one of the larger ones that you can get. So if you wanted something to replace a big growing lilac, this would be one of them. And the next one is the most ridiculous name I've ever heard, but it is Show Off Sugar Baby Forsythia. The hybrid Show Off in general is its own plant that is also a Forsythia intermedia, but then there are other varieties off of it. So it totally depends on what variety you're getting, and that depends on the height, but I just want to go with the sugar baby because I've seen this one in the garden centers and it is the smallest one you're going to find. So the sugar baby variety, it only gets 18 inches to 2.5 feet tall and about 2 to 3 feet wide. So it's a lot smaller than even the gold tide that we were talking about, or it can get a lot smaller. The width is going to be more compact too. And then the hardiness zone is 5 to 8, so it's kind of on the edge here, but that is one of the nice varieties. And then the normal Show Off variety is what's going to be a little bit bigger. So you're looking at more around 6 feet, 6 to 8 feet for the regular Show Off. So that's going to be the difference. That's why the sugar baby variety is going to be a lot smaller than your normal Show Off variety. So just wanted to go through all of those varieties because it is important to know what you're looking into and probably what you're going to find. More than likely regionally, you're going to find different ones. So here in the Midwest, in Wisconsin specifically, maybe a little bit Illinois, these are the varieties that are very, very commonly found. I think the most important thing when you're buying a shrub is going to be the hardiness zone is something to look for on the tag. If it's not on the tag and you have the variety name, you could easily Google it and find it. More than likely, a website like Proven Winners or Nature Hills Nursery or even Missouri Botanical Garden, Chicago Botanic Garden, any of those are really good reliable sources to be looking for. If you're looking it up online, that's usually what I'm referencing as well. So hardiness zone is number one. Normally, when I am buying a shrub or anything, I am looking for a hardiness zone one step lower. So I'm in zone 5, so I want to get a shrub that's at least 4. If not 3 would be great, but 4 is fine. Usually, hardiness zone 5 will survive just fine, but if you have a really brutal winter or something like that, it might be a little rough. And so there are ways to help prevent it. It's basically the freezing and thawing that becomes an issue on your plant. You want to either hold on to the freezing or hold on to the thawing and not have the back and forth as much. So hardiness zone is probably the most important thing, because sometimes garden centers mislabel plants and they call, you know, a grass a perennial when really the hardiness zone around here is like a 7 to a 10. No, it's an annual. So that is one of the most important things as you're looking for landscape plants. Obviously, the other is care. So what kind of, if do you have an area that is very moist, or do you have an area that is super dry? Do you have a ton of sun? Do you have no sun? Obviously, those are going to be also the most important things. And you can listen to more of those tips and tricks on the landscape episodes. But in this particular one, hardiness zone and spacing. So based on how big you want your forsythia, that's probably the variety you're going to end up buying if it's within your hardiness zone. So I know this is a short episode, but I hope you learned a lot about this lovely shrub. Keep engaging with me. Let me know what you think about the forsythia. Comment on the episode, comment on the blog post, comment on the Instagram post, Facebook post. I want to know what your thoughts on forsythia, because I gave you my hot take. Now I want to hear yours. So hope you guys have a wonderful week, and I'll talk to you later. Bye. Well, hello. I'm back, per usual. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. It was very fun to make. I love diving back into the landscape stuff and just relearning stuff as soon, especially since it's just blooming. So I know this is going to be never ending, and more than likely summer is going to be, I mean, I'm going to have to really choose my plants correctly, because summer, everything is blooming. So we'll have years and years of landscape plants to keep doing. But let's get back into a kind of a house plant. We're going to do cyclamen next episode. So that is going to be another blooming house plant that you see a lot of right now, early spring, around Easter time is usually when people, you'll see them kind of as like a housewarming gift or something like that. So I wanted to go into it because I know we did Kalanchoe, but I wanted to go into cyclamen to see if this is another plant that would be something to replicate in a blooming form. I actually don't know. So we're going to learn it together. I also wanted to mention that the newsletter is coming out beginning of May. So if you are not signed up, please do so. I'm excited to give you some new tips and tricks and products that I've recently been using. And then I'm sure you got the hint already, but these podcasts are bi-weekly. Again, fantastic, right? So are the blog posts. And then, as I said in the beginning, we're going to be doing more landscape episodes and more topical episodes as well. The newsletter is a great place to find out what other podcast episodes are coming, but if you want to hear a certain episode, please let me know. I do have it planned out mostly through almost the end of fall right now, but things are movable and I can constantly move them until I put them in the newsletter and I tell you guys what it actually is coming. So that's a great place to see when it's coming. But it's going to be more spring stuff, a little bit getting into summers, and then a couple topical as we get into the summer. So I'm excited to keep doing that. Also, as a reminder, I have merch online. So if you haven't checked it out, go to my website and then find the shop page and you can find everything that's available. It's very fun stuff. I probably won't be doing merch again for a while. So this last launch is going to be what I have left. Normally, I'm doing very few quantities per size, but it's pretty overall size inclusive if it's available to me. So just as a heads up. And that's very exciting. I love doing it. So then 2 weeks, you'll hear about cyclamen. Otherwise, I'll see you on social media. I'll probably be bringing with bringing you with me on some landscape journeys, because I am redoing the front of our landscape this spring, and then I'm planting a ton of annuals. I'll probably do an episode. No, I will do an episode on annuals in a couple, like a month. Yeah, just because I want to dive into it. I know I talked about them in the past on the landscape episodes, but I want to get into it a little bit more, talk about my favorites, all that good stuff. So anyways, hope you guys have a wonderful week. Hope you enjoyed this episode, and I will talk to you later. Bye.